Ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Please be seated. During the season of Advent a few weeks back, as a parish, we were all invited to read a book by the former Archbishop of Canterbury titled Being Disciples, Essentials of Christian Life. Williams opens each chapter of his book with a passage of Scripture. And it happens that the latter portion of today's gospel that we've just heard is found at the very beginning of his first chapter, where he explores the foundational themes of discipleship. In a similar way, we stand at the beginning of the story of Jesus, the very beginning, on the second Sunday in Epiphany. The beginning of a new year in the life of the church, the beginning of a new year in each of our lives. The theme of the season of Epiphany is pretty clear. It's about light overcoming darkness. That is, knowledge of God's presence among us in the person of Jesus that overcomes the darkness that is within us. Our sin and all that separates us from one another and from God. Now, there's nothing antiquated or cute about darkness. It existed before the light, and it has waxed and waned throughout human history. But make no mistake, Christians are not now, nor have we ever been, passive spectators in history. We are renewed in baptism, made central characters in the story of salvation by God's own gift of His Spirit. And we are called to be and do something, as Isaiah was called and as Paul was called. In today's gospel, we hear the very first words spoken, according to John, by Jesus. And they're important to us. Two men, presumably followers of John the Baptizer, overhear him saying about Jesus, "There goes the Lamb of God." And whatever that meant to them, it mattered enough that they followed. Until Jesus turned around and asked them point blank, "What are you looking for?" And I ask you to imagine Jesus asking you that question right now. What are you looking for? Why did you come to this house of prayer on this day? What is your heart's longing? I know this is an important question for each of us. In fact, it's important enough that we might arrange our day so that we have an opportunity to intentionally stop everything, be still, and become aware of what it is that we seek. Listen to that question in prayer daily. What are you looking for? What is it that you most deeply need or desire in your heart of hearts? Of course, these two men, being typical men, dodge Jesus' question by asking a seemingly simple one, "Where are you staying, Mr. Jesus?" I imagine few of us are prepared to truthfully answer such a deep question as Jesus asked. But Jesus doesn't repeat his question or explain what he really meant or scold them for their avoidance. He meets them. He meets you and me right where we are on this journey. Jesus shows us and meets us right where we stand, shows us how to do that. These two seekers, who apparently can't answer a deep question, simply ask him where he's staying. And he says, graciously, "Come and see." I think that's an important pattern for us to notice and to adopt. Invitation and meeting people where they are. Now the two men go and they see, and they remain with Jesus for the day. And here we come to a place where Rowan Williams and many other careful readers and theologians have noticed that the act of staying with Jesus, abiding with Jesus, is integral and essential to being a Christian. One who follows. One who learns from following. One who is changed by that encounter with God incarnate. Staying with Jesus is an act of love because it requires willful effort. Giving up our precious time. Now, later in John's Gospel, Jesus frequently speaks about abiding. Abiding with his disciples and of us abiding in his love. The word abide, as it's used there, is the exact same word that's translated remains in today's lesson. Jesus invites us to abide with him now and always. And if we only abide with Jesus for 1 hour a week, however glorious it may be, how can any one of us expect to grow in faith, to be changed by the relationship we have with Jesus? Abiding with Jesus matters deeply because eventually, it enables us to see the light of God shining through in all the cracks of our life. That light, it illumines the world through the cracks in our life. Jesus invites us to live in a particular way that is marked by staying in his presence. It is about staying connected in relationship. We have to keep showing up, not just at church, but in our relationships all throughout our lives, in all areas of our life. And we have to love. You've heard me say this before, I don't have to like you to love you. That kind of love, the sort of love that Jesus lived and invites us to live, is described by Scott Peck as an act of will. He says, love is an act of will. Love is as it does. It isn't about affection or affinity for another human. We love the other when we do particular kinds of things, when we act in ways that nurture the other's growth. We live in a time of public rancor, where generally any person or group with whom we disagree is belittled or shamed or berated or marginalized or worse. These are not acts of love. They are acts of darkness. And we are all involved in it. We who claim to bear the mantle of Christ and to shine an inviolable light that overcomes darkness, we can't treat those as gentle poetic words, sweet poetry. Shining the light of God in the world is an act of love, willful and intentional and disciplined. When we love the way that Jesus does, we never stop showing up. We never distance ourselves from those with whom we disagree or even loathe. Whether you're politically green or blue or red, whether you're intellectual or ignorant, sound or feeble, straight or gay, labels don't matter because labels don't excuse Christians from bearing the light of Christ in the world. However we live by faith, we have to stay in relationship with one another and with God, with estranged family and friends. We have to repair the damage done and make right to the extent possible those breaches that we have made. Last week, we baptized a young girl, Adrienne. And we, as a congregation, a church, promised to show her, by our acts of love, how she is to love, how she is to perceive the world and be a full member of God's family, how to respect the dignity of every human being, and how to answer the question, what is it that you are looking for? When the Lord asks this of you, of me, of Adrienne, let us know what we are looking for. When we invite someone, a stranger or a friend, to come and see the community of St. Paul's, we should know what we are looking for, why we are here, why this faith matters, and be able to speak of it. Most of all, perhaps, the reason to know the answer to Jesus' question, and it will change throughout life, but perhaps the most important reason is that when you find yourself beset in darkness, or even complicit in darkness, you will know that Jesus will meet you right where you are on that journey. No matter what, no matter when, every single time, always. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Abide in my love. Do whatever it takes to stay and devote a measure of your life, your precious time, to abide in the presence of Jesus. Come and see, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen.